As you're finding your seat, if you will open to Isaiah chapter 11. This morning we hear the words of the prophet in verses 1 through 9. Isaiah 11. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Would you pray with me? Father God, who let your Spirit rest on Jesus, the Messiah that came 2,000 years ago, might your Spirit rest on us this day. The one who moved forth with peace, might your peace move in this place this day. We have already proclaimed in song, God, that you are not dead and you do not sleep. And that means that you are alive and you are on the move. And so would you live and move freely in our hearts, in our church, in our community this day. We invite you, even now, to open our ears, to open our hearts, to hear what it is you would have us to hear, so we might do what you would have us to do. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you were here last week, you'll recognize that we are back in a similar place in history with the same prophet as then. Once again, with the prophet Isaiah speaking to the people of Israel, in a very difficult place. Their nation is divided, soon to be defeated even more by the Assyrians who are on the move. Last week, the prophet spoke up and he gave the people a message of hope based on a leader that was to come in the midst of their circumstances and even in the future. This week, another message, a similar message, but one with this theme of peace. And it starts with the word again about this leader and how this new leader is coming to be. There in verse 1, he tells them, a shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. A shoot, the sign of new life, a little sprig, coming up from a stump, something that has reached its end, something that the world would say has already run its course. And Jesse, the father of David, Israel's great king who had reigned at one time in their very best days, many would say. And those are days that were now long gone. The prophet speaks and says that what the world has long labeled dead and gone and finished simply isn't so. But he says there's new life and it's pushing its way up. It's breaking through that dead stump. Isaiah cries out to a people overwhelmed by the many dead ends in their life and their history, and he says to them, peace, my people. There's more to this stump than meets the eye. The glory days are perhaps still to come. And he can say so not because he's just being idealistic, but because he remembers. He can say so because he trusts in a God who has this track record of bringing life out of death. Isaiah can say so because he trusts in this God whose people were once stuck between this massive body of water and this massive army on the other side, a sure grave, either way you go. And before their very eyes, God parted the sea and the people crossed over into new life. A dead end became the very door that led them into freedom. Isaiah can say peace because he trusts in a God who found his people in the wilderness without water to drink, without food to eat. They were days away from death. And this God sent water from a rock and manna from the sky. And in that dead-end place, God's people found an oasis that was full of life. Isaiah is speaking when the nations around them had long forgotten the glory days of Israel. King David, ancient history. It was a has-been kingdom in every sense of the word, a stump in every way. But out of this stump, Isaiah says, a shoot is coming. God's Messiah is still on the way, and he's coming by way of what the world says is not a way. He's coming by way of a dead end. A brand new road is still being paved. And so peace, he says, because just when things begin to seem too far gone, just when dreams seem to be too long held, that's when God seems to love it the most to get to work and make something out of nothing. When this Messiah does finally come, and you're talking about hundreds of years later, he keeps up the theme. A child born in the line of David. Did anyone even remember that that was a thing? Sounds like the markings of a stump, if you ask me. Death on a cross. His body laid in a sealed tomb. What many had hoped was a way forward for at least a few years was now clearly closed and gone. Yet another dead end. But we know the story. The stone was rolled away and new life sprung up from this very literal grave. This is a story of what our God has always done, making a way for life out of death, shoots out of stumps, new roads out of roadblocks. This is the story of peace this Christmas and every day. And so we are invited as the people of God to look at the dead ends, to look at the disappointments in our own lives, and we are invited to take a deep breath and actually wonder if our God might have some new life to breathe even there, even in those places, just because that's what he sometimes likes to do. Regrets from the past that keep you from embracing the future. Maybe some failures that you hold over your head in parenting, in marriage. Maybe life choices that you still feel guilty about every single day. What if rather than carry the shame of these on your back for one more day, you instead begin to imagine that these might actually be the roads to new life? These might actually be opportunities in your life to share what you've learned and help others on their journey find health through your own journey toward forgiveness and grace. Relationships that have hit a dead end. What if there's a sprig of new life somewhere in the emptiness? Something new that our God can do even still. A fear you've never overcome. An insecurity that's always plagued you. A past hurt that's robbed your joy for far too long. You see, these tend to be the very things that steal our peace. But this Advent season, we get to remember that oftentimes these are the very places our God loves to sneak in and cultivate something brand new in our midst. The God who sent Jesus in this forgotten line of David, the same God who raised Jesus from the dead, is the God who is still moving in the stories that we have long written off. This is the God who is still raising the dead parts of us each and every day. And if that be so, then no matter what we brought into this place today, no matter what we hold in our hands, there is still an invitation to take a deep breath and make room for some peace. We have peace based on how this Messiah has come, new life from an old stump. And we have peace because of what he brings when he comes. A kingdom, it says, where the wolf and the lamb, where the calf and the lion, the cow and the bear, the child and the snake will lay side by side, none seeking to hurt or harm the other. Imagine that scene playing out. Perfect harmony, it says, on God's holy hill. It's a picture of peace that to us here and now seems light years away. Only possible when Jesus fulfills this kingdom that he initiated 2,000 years ago. We've been waiting a long time. It's a word about peace between all living things, between humans and humans, and between humans and animals, between predator and prey, between enemies throughout all of creation, becoming brothers and sisters and friends. And it's a great promise to look forward to. If you're an artist in our midst, have some fun painting this picture. Bring it to life. It's beautiful. We look forward to it with all of our hearts. But even as we wait for this peaceful kingdom to come, I think there's a little something for us to hold on to even today. As we wait patiently for the peace of the world, there's something here that speaks into the peace within ourselves, a peace we might learn to attain even here and even now, circumstances being what they are. Because you see, sometimes the wolves and the lambs aren't just two different animals with different ambitions trying to make out a living together on God's holy mountain, but they're even too often two forces within ourselves. Competing in our own hearts and our own minds, the wolf and the lamb. Some of us are scared to death of that wolf inside of us that's begging to be uncaged. It's that aggressive, assertive part of us that seeks to move through this world with strength and with force. We hear this call to be wild, to be bold in what we believe. We hear this call to truly live out loud the life we're called to live. And it makes us just a little bit anxious. We fear what might happen if we assert ourselves too strongly, if we voice our convictions too loudly, if we give feet to our passions too ambitiously. We're too terrified of conflict that we might stir up in so doing, and so we just sit back and play it cool and tell the wolf to calm down for a little while longer. We keep it caged, preferring to think of ourselves as little lambs who nestle up in the shepherd's lap and rest for a really, really, really long time sometimes. Others of us are at peace with the wolf inside, but it's that lamb that makes us so uncomfortable. The last thing we want others to see is that we have a childlike, vulnerable side to us. We let someone see that before, trusted someone with the most fragile pieces of ourselves, and they hurt us. And so we buried the lamb within us and resolve to walk through the world with our head held high and this sureness in our step that says, I've got this. Don't bother giving me any advice, any direction in the meantime. I'm good. Thank you very much. Whether we're more comfortable with the wolf or the lamb, whether we come off as assertive or vulnerable, as independent or as needy, the good news today is that we have a God who loves them both. God created them both. and this peaceful kingdom that Jesus is bringing. Notice, there is a place for both. The wolf isn't done away with. It's still there. In fact, you see, peace doesn't come in the removal of either, but in letting them live side by side. Isaiah says that there is only freedom from fear when these two animals in the world and within ourselves learn to live together in peace. Well, that sounds great, you say, but how in the world do we do that? Verse 9 indicates that this is only possible as the knowledge of the Lord spreads through our lives and through our world. And how does the knowledge of the Lord spread? But through worship, through immersing ourselves daily in this intentional relationship with the real living God, through His Word, through conversation with Him, through mission, through meeting together at a table like this one, through community with the people of God. As we intentionally become a people who stand in God's presence, we soon find that we become free to be who it is God created us to be, and that is both the wolf and the lamb, fully alive, coexisting as one. You see, in God's presence, it won't be long before we encounter the truth of Jesus Christ, who was called the Lion of Judah and the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ, He was strong and He was assertive. He was decisive and He was active. The man who came to earth as a baby, it didn't take long for him to grow up and preach fiery sermons that almost got him killed more than once. This Jesus grew up and He turned over tables in the temple and He sent demons screaming to their death. There was a passion inside of Him that couldn't be tamed. A conviction that couldn't be snuffed out. There was a mission in Him that was undeterred. The Lion of Judah. And yet, He was vulnerable. Crying in the garden where His disciples could see and hear, "Oh God, could there be any other way?" Weeping over the people of Jerusalem. Vulnerable to the point of going to the cross and dying for us. The King of the universe, willingly beaten and mocked by us and for us. The Lamb of God. And so peace this Advent, 2016, I believe comes just a little bit in letting Jesus do in us what He came to do. And that is make a way for us to be fully alive and in right relationship with God and with others once and for all. And to do that, we must let the wolf inside of us live. But that wolf must be surrendered to the knowledge of God. That means we're not free to exercise our assertiveness from God by blasting out the Taco Bell worker who forgot the sour cream on our burrito. I don't think that God loses much sleep over things like that. But instead, we are free to let our blood pressure rise, and we are free to clench our fist and grit our teeth over the things that God gets all worked up about. We are free to let that wolf roar about matters of injustice and bringing light to the plight of the poor in our midst and speaking out against the enemy's lies that have young people in our community settling for so much less than they were created for. We're free to be assertive with folks who say that others' lives aren't worth fighting for. We're free to get passionate about the lost, knowing that Jesus loves them. We are free to be radical in the ways that we choose to love and to forgive and to serve. You see, there's a wolf inside each of us that wants to live life on fire. And some of us have tamed that wolf for far too long. And others of us have just let that wolf run wild. Not accountable to anyone or to anything. Peace is in uncaging that wild animal and letting it live, but letting it run in the knowledge of God's heart until God's kingdom comes. And peace this Advent, it comes in letting Jesus do what it is he came to do, and that is to make a way for us to be fully alive by being in right relationship with God and with others once and for all. And to do that, we must let that sheep live too. And that doesn't mean that we just hunker down, scared of our own shadows, and just kind of let life pass us by because we're just little bitty sheep. But as God's heart grows in us, we let that sheep live by not working so hard to save ourselves and keep everything together on our own. And instead, we learn to rest in the arms of the shepherd. It means we get to admit that, yes, we are weary. And yes, we're afraid. And yes, we are hurting. And yes, we are weak. And we get to be held in those places. Yes, even the rough and tough men among us get to be held. We are free to admit that we don't have it all figured out, that the future does sometimes overwhelm us, and that God's mission for us is absolutely intimidating, and that we can't do it on our own. We get to admit insecurities that so often overtake us, and that we don't really have a handle on much of anything at all. And that's okay, because God made sheep, and God loves them. And in his new kingdom that comes, when Jesus comes again, sheep remain. Not all the insecurities and the fears and the shame, but that humility and that meekness that gladly admits the need for a Savior. Those things that make us quickly run to him just to be with him, that remains. The assertiveness that God's mission demands, and the tenderness that discipleship invites us into. The wolf and the lamb, they live together in peace as God's heart grows in us. So my friends, may the peace of Christ be yours this Advent season. In your dead ends and disappointments, might there be peace in knowing that when it comes to life, God has always been up for a challenge. And your passion and your need to be seen and heard, might there be peace in knowing that surrender to the heart of God, the wolf, has an important role to play in God's mission going forth. And in your vulnerabilities and your weaknesses, might there be peace in knowing the sheep is on that holy hill too, hanging out with the shepherd who just loves to hold on to you. The shepherd who delights in nothing more than just taking good care of us all. The peace of Christ be with you, my friends, so you might be free to be fully you. Wolf and lamb, together as one. A mission to do in this world, and a God to lean on and be carried in his arms until it's accomplished through and through. Would you pray with me? Father God, until that day comes on your holy hill, when enemies and adversaries and prey and predator dwell together as one, we invite you to put your holy hill in our hearts, to let these parts within ourselves that compete for attention find a way to live in knowledge of you as one. Father God, stir up passion within us, holy passion, boldness, assertiveness in a world that needs to see light and hear truth. Let us not be easily deterred. And God, reveal in us those vulnerable places, the weakness. So as we go out and do your work, we will not forget for a moment that it's all for you and by you. That there is a God, and we will never be Him. And thanks be to God for that. And so would you carry your sheep, and would you lead your wolves until your kingdom comes, until your will is done. Right here in Belfair, right here on earth, just as it is in heaven. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.